Good Tuesday morning, Las Vegas. This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. You're waking up with the sun right here on 91.5 KUNV Las Vegas. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Case Kiefer, Taylor Byrne, breaking down the Vegas sports scene for everybody. And I know I didn't mention this in our planning meeting, boys, but I got to start with a personal story.
Let me tell you,
Bad Beat Saturday rolled into Bad Beat Sunday for me. Starts off Saturday at morning. I have Florida State minus 32 against Maryland. They're up 41-7. That's 34 points with about a minute to play. They've got the ball. They can't get a first down. They punt it away. Maryland, last play of the game, 45-yard touchdown to cover. Not a problem. I take that. Sometimes you win some of those. Next game, I've got Indiana plus 17.5 at Penn State. They're down by 23, first down and two at the Penn State 2 with a minute and something to go. Four tries at the end zone, four unsuccessful tries at the end zone.
I had Indiana in the Talking Points blog on LasVegasSun.com too, so I feel you with
that one. Heartbreak City. Sunday in the NFL, and I say yesterday because we taped the show on Monday, folks. Two overs I have, I lose by a half a point. The Saints game over 55.5 against the Raiders, and the over in the Cowboy-Brown game that went into overtime, 43.5. Maybe karma's not on my side. I don't know if, you know, a black cat crossed in front of the car one day. Whatever it is, totally frustrated, can't get it out of my head. Welcome to Vegas, folks. This is what happens every weekend at the Sportsbook. We try to point you in the right direction sometime on LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk with some good plays, but oftentimes we're in the wrong direction. Case, you cover gambling. Talk me off the ledge.
Yeah, you're just going to have weekends like that. I think you got to just be okay. Is there any consolation in the fact that you went 5-1? On the NFL picks that we post on the Suns website, now you have a winning record, maybe for the first time this year, and you're tied with me for the lead.
It's about time. The thing with the Maryland game really upset me because Maryland's got, like, its fifth quarterback of the year.
Yeah, it's been brutal. Like, guy goes down with ACL, ankle, everything's happened to all
their quarterbacks. Yeah, so this kid cannot throw the ball from me to you. And Florida State has got a pretty good team, and somehow they complete a long touchdown. It's just frustrating as all could be.
Yeah,
for whatever it's worth. I had to get that off my chest. You know, this is kind of the first time we've been together as a group in a while, and I just wanted to share it with my friends.
I agree. Those sounded like bad beats, but the NFL games, they just sounded like just losses.
Yeah.
A half a point? I mean.
But it's not.
I guess, but the game was trending under the whole time.
Yeah.
You only got that close because it went to overtime.
You could have had some bad beats in the NFL with.
Carolina-Tampa.
Yeah, Carolina-Tampa, and also the Detroit Packers. I mean, Detroit was covering that entire game until, I mean, how much time was left?
11 seconds they kicked the field goal.
Was it that little?
To cover.
I thought it was a little more, but Brewer sounds like he knows.
It was, so. I think it was less than a minute for sure, and it was just, as someone who had the Packers in the Hilton Super Contest, I was very happy to see that. But then it turned around, and our team also had the Panthers, and so watching that one slip away just minutes later. Just kind of, you know, Vegas giveth and Vegas taketh away.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's the thing with the NFL. Like, in Vegas, the first game start at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I promise you, at 12:40 every Sunday, say there's 9 games on the board, 7 of those 9 games are, like, tied or within a touchdown of each other.
Yesterday was amazing, too.
And that's why I love the NFL. That's why it's been my favorite sports league for as long as I can remember. But since we're on this topic, I should ask you what you think about my dilemma is not the right word, but the closest thing I can think of. When the Buccaneers score that touchdown in overtime to win, which I knew they were going to win when they tied the game at the end. You knew the Panthers were going to fall apart. But my natural reaction was like celebration. I've been a Buccaneer since I was like 5 years old. I root for the team. But then I think about it. I have the Buccaneers in our contest, Las Vegas Sun, which I know you're having a great day. So I lose because of that. And I had them in the Super Contest, more importantly, with Taylor.
Panthers.
Yeah, the Panthers, and I have them in the Super the Panthers in both our Las Vegas Sun contest and the Super contest with Taylor and some other guys. So I asked the person I'm with, like, should I be happy or should I be mad that they won?
What was your first reaction?
What did Tracy say to that?
She said, "Oh, you should root for the one where you make money." Of course.
She's a keeper.
What was your first reaction, though, when they scored?
My initial reaction was clap. Like, I wanted to clap. because I was happy the Buccaneers came back and won. Okay, but then right before I was about to be like, yeah, I was like, wait, do I really like this?
Mm-hmm. But it also probably helped because Doug Martin had like big runs in overtime too. And don't you have Doug Martin in fantasy?
I do. So I wish so I have him in like three leagues. I wish he would have scored though. That's the other thing I was hoping. Like, all right, if they win, at least have it be Martin or Jackson. It didn't end up mattering in the fantasy leagues, but I would have rather seen one of those two guys score.
Sure, and that's just what Vegas does to you. Kind of makes you sell your soul a little bit. Like, I can't.
Yeah, there's some of that.
I mean, the Pirates, as you guys know, they haven't had a winning season in like 15 or 16 years or 18.
Did they
years.
Not finish with a winning season this year?
No, they crumbled down. Oh the stretch.
My! I know they crumbled, but I thought they still have a winning record.
It's tough. And as you guys know, I'm a pretty big Pirate fan. And you know, when they lose 100 plus games multiple years in a row, there's some money to be had there, and I can't bet it against them because I couldn't see myself getting upset if they won on a walk off. Or if they won at all, and you know when you're gambling and you only got a certain amount of that's what I like about Vegas. Every day you got an opportunity to wake up and take it to the man, to rip his heart out, and to dance on his grave. And that's why Vegas is the best place in the world.
But 90% of the time, the man is going to stomp all over you.
I know, but every day you're going to get to wake up and you
it's
have
not 90%.
Whatever well, over the long time, run, over okay. the long run,
over the long run, I say 90% or more are losers.
Yes, most people will get kicked in the teeth
on an everyday basis. Vegas. You're right; it's not.
But
90.
It's having that hope that you know, with one game or one spin of the wheel, your life could be a better for at least 20 minutes.
That's
Vegas, baby.
That sounds like you need Gamblers Anonymous.
I know.
That mentality is the wrong way to go about it. That's how you end up going down that tunnel and, you know, digging yourself a pretty deep hole.
Deep grave. LasVegasSun.com sports
now,
talk.
Now, thankfully, you're not putting up the mortgage on any of these bets.
No.
Red, hope is a good thing. Maybe the best of things.
And no good thing
Shawshank Redemption.
And no good thing should ever die.
We can't get Brewer started on that on that movie, though.
We should just have a Shawshank podcast sometime, though.
Las Vegas.
Break it down like bros. Yeah.
LasVegasSun.com sports talk. Shawshank Redemption, the last movie. Last movie I've really – that took me out of movies. Sunday, my wife Carla wants to go see that movie. You know, you pick your team whatever and whatever. What's the movie?
Twilight.
Twilight, right?
You pick your team.
She wants to go to the movie Twilight, and she doesn't want to go by herself because, quote unquote, she doesn't want to be like that woman that owns seven cats that goes to the movie by herself. But I say, there's no way I could go to the movie. There's no way I could sit there for 2 hours. So she went to the movie by herself. Nicholas and I, my infant son, we go to Denny's for breakfast.
He's not an infant anymore.
Oh, he's toddler. He's a toddler. He's my toddler. Toddler ton. Son, he was, trust me, tough babysitting for pops. But nonetheless, this is a sports show. We're here every Tuesday, 7 a.m. We might as well talk about the
You never really finished the story, though. So what happened?
Did she like the movie? She went to the movie Han Solo, loved it. Came out with...
I've never heard somebody just throw Han Solo.
Yeah.
Is that a phrase? Do people do that?
Ended up getting a headache, though, from the movie. I don't know why.
So emotional.
She had a headache all day, so I basically had to babysit all day, which, as you guys know, I'm not the world's best babysitter.
Was she Team Wolf and the Vampire
Who
one?
Who knows? I have no idea.
What is it? Team something and Jacob?
It's Jacob and something, but it's a wolf and a vampire.
Edward.
Edward. Yeah. Edward's the vampire.
Which is which? Oh, Edward's the vampire?
Yeah, Wolf is Jacob.
All right. I'm glad we hashed that out.
We got that all figured out. LasVegasSun.com sports talk. Oh, there is basketball being played and being played good, Taylor Byrne. UNLV.
Being played well.
Being played well, same thing. That's why you're a wordsmith and I'm not. UNLV, as good as we thought, better than advertised. To be announced this week on Friday when they play a better team.
I was going to say, dial it back a little bit. Said the same thing that we talked about on last week's show. You don't want to judge too much off that Northern Arizona game. Same thing. Don't want to read too much into the Jacksonville State game. They won by 19. Spread was 20. So they gave up a chance actually at the end to get a garbage basket that would have made a lot of people in the stands happy. But, classy. I like just dribbling it out. This week gets a lot better. Friday night they play Oregon. And then Saturday they will play the winner of Cincinnati and Iowa State. This is part of the Global Sports Classic. That's what both the Northern Arizona and Jacksonville State games were part of that too. And Jacksonville State's actually the ones who kind of get run over in this series a little bit. They played a game Thursday night, then they came to Vegas Saturday, lost to UNLV. Monday night, they go up and play Oregon, and then Friday afternoon, they're back in Vegas to play Northern Arizona, and then to finish it out on Saturday. It's just a rough schedule for them, but they're kind of in the – it's an eight-team tournament, if you want to call it that. But they're in the – essentially the loser's bracket, the one that, you know, people aren't going to be coming out to see. Friday night is when it really gets going with that Cincinnati-Iowa State game and UNLV-Oregon. UNLV is definitely the best team in that field. Cincinnati's like they're fringe top 25, and Iowa State's got a few pieces. Oregon's actually going to be the most interesting probably for locals. They've got three quote-unquote local kids on the team, two from Gorman, one Dominic Artis from Finley Prep. And Artis actually is playing about 25 minutes per game for the Ducks, doing pretty well so far under Coach Dana Altman. And that's definitely going to be a step up in competition for UNLV. Not, you know, Oregon's not like a, you know, like a Sweet 16 type of team, that sort of thing. But it's definitely going to be a better gauge than what they've had so far, no doubt.
I mean, the thing for me is that if you look at both the rosters for Northern Arizona and Jacksonville State, they both had undersized players at virtually every spot. I know Jacksonville State was closer, but they were like big guys, not like real big and physical big guys.
Hey, what are you saying?
Nonetheless, what I'm saying is that Oregon's got like real big, athletic, quick guys at every position, and this will be. I think Friday night we'll have a better idea of how good this UNLV team is as well. I don't know how many students will be at the game because it'll be Thanksgiving weekend. Do they expect the 2,500?
I don't know how many people in general are. I don't have any type of gauge for, like, you know, how many people stick around Vegas, how many, you know, want to go out on the, you know, it's not on Thanksgiving night, it's the day after, so maybe more people are apt to do something.
After they like do that. Their Dark Friday shopping.
Why do you keep calling it Dark Friday?
Black Friday.
Black Friday shopping.
Isn't today Cyber Monday?
Oh, is it?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Did you get anything?
I did not.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Again,
there's still time.
Yeah. Again, we taped the show Mondays, guys. And it airs Tuesday on KUNV, LasVegasSun.com, Sports Talk.
Like you're telling us like we don't know that.
No, I'm telling guys, our listeners.
It'll be on our site Wednesday or Thursday,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, it gets downloaded on the site. And you taking a picture? Every morning at 7 a.m., one of our news gatherers from The Sun, right here on the KUNV radio waves, breaking it down on their beats, business, education, politics, whatever it may be. Today we're talking UNLV sports, specifically UNLV basketball, alongside Case Kiefer and Taylor Byrne. I'm Ray Brewer. And Taylor,
are you going to grace us with your presence Friday night against
Oregon?
I'll
be there Friday. Looking forward to it. Friday, not Saturday. I'll be there Friday. I'm looking forward to breaking it down the only way I can. Instant analysis.
I'd like to be at that game, but I'm out of town.
It's okay. We're gonna miss you.
Are
you going to the Iron Bowl?
Yeah, I'm going to the Iron Bowl the next day. But the night before, I'm either gonna go to an Alabama basketball game or a show. I got to decide between the two.
What kind of show?
Like rock, indie metal. Rock and roll, Japan Droids.
Oh, you have to go to that. That's not even.
We'll see.
Who's the? You could see Relaford's brother. Or you could see Japan Droids. Like, that's not.
I'm not huge into them, though. I like them, but they aren't one of my favorite bands.
I've never heard of Japan Droids.
Of course you haven't.
and I've already seen in the last five. I'm kind of getting showdown in the last 5 days. I've now seen Guns N' Roses, Bob Dylan, and Deftones in the last 5 days.
Was it the real Bob Dylan?
It was the
real, Bob Dylan.
Well, I don't know.
It was the real Bob Dylan, unfortunately. It probably would have been better if it was an imitator.
But he was good?
No,
he
was awful.
He's older now.
He's 71.
Well, there you go.
But I've seen Tom Jones, who's like 73, and he's moving around and thrusting his hips, and Bob Dylan needs a motorized scooter on the stage.
Do women still throw their garments to the old Tom Jones?
I've seen Tom Jones, I think, four times, and one time we did have a knicker hurling frenzy.
Nice.
Would you go see Tom Jones like every other week if you could?
Probably not, because he's expensive. If it was cheap.
If money was no object, like if you could just go to a Tom Jones show like
every
week or
every other week. I'd say once a month I'd probably go.
Yeah. You've got to go see, I'm totally getting off subject here today, but you've got to go see Cookie Jar.
What is Cookie Jar?
He's a legendary Vegas lounge act. You know, was at the Continental when in the mid-90s when I went to UNLV and before Terrible Hearst took over for the Continental. You know, was at Casino Royale. Now he Outside Harris. Now I think he's at Wild Bill's, like in the afternoons on Saturday. But he sings like everything from like, you know, Belle Div DeVoe to.
And you claim you've seen this guy like 1,000 times. I think you told me
at least. Adam Hill and I
at least 1,000.
Adam Hill and I from the RJ used to go every Friday and Saturday night for maybe 3 years. So that's 100. That maybe.
And not. In no way is that depressing.
Yeah. Well, because, listen.
I've probably seen the guy, at least in passing. I've walked by that Hera stage, like, a million times.
He used to bark. That was the highlight of the show for me.
Oh, boy.
He would bark at
He'd
you.
He'd be like, oh,
because that's the highlight of the show.
Yeah.
You do that on our LasVegasSun.com podcast, Prep Sports mm-hmm. Now. That's how you always end the show, which I don't really understand.
You bark at the end?
That's how I do it. That's how I roll. It's a shout-out to my boy. My brother from another mother.
Oh, that's where it comes from. Yeah. Cookie Jar.
The Cookie Jar. Boy. Anyways, UNLV basketball, are you happy with the way they look, or do you think Dave's happy with the way they look?
I think a problem this year that they encountered already against Jacksonville State is just teams basically wanting to slow them down, use up as much of the shot clock as possible on both ends, and UNLV didn't handle that very well. They just got frustrated. They started committing a lot of turnovers. I think they finished with 19 for the game, which is just way too many. You know, they had 11 in the first half when they had stretches there where they just couldn't find any cohesiveness. Like they were just they were frustrated and kind of bored that it was going that slow, and in trying to pick it up, they just made a lot of mistakes. And that's what, you know, that's what a lot of teams are going to try and do against them. And so that's something that they have to get a lot better at. And it was a problem a lot of the times last year, you know, especially those road games down the stretch, they just, you know, teams would like play four corners on them, and they just couldn't be patient enough to you know, play their game still. They would just start jacking up threes.
And Jacksonville State had just 14 points in the first half.
Yeah, crazy.
And all of a sudden, second half, neither team could miss. And I don't know.
And I think they both shot better than 50% in the second half. You know, Jacksonville State was like 21.7. in the first half. And so, and it wasn't necessarily that they were carving up the UNLV defense so much better in the second half. I think they were getting some similar looks. They were just knocking them down now. You know, so it, you know, UNLV's defense did, you know, very well in the first half. Anytime you hold a team to 14 points, you know, hang your hat on that. That's well done. But it wasn't like it's the best they've ever played or anything like that. The other issue that I took away from it, and I talked about this quite a bit in my game, or I wish I would have even made it like the main point. Anthony Marshall played 36 minutes.
Oh.
36 minutes in the second game of the year against Jacksonville State. Like since the minute that Colorado ended last year, so many of my conversations with Coach Dave Rice have been about managing the lineup better and making sure his guys are fresh. He even brought it up. You know, without addressing the minutes thing, brought it up the balance. They had five guys who scored in double figures and talked about how they're going to rely on that so that they don't get tired at the end. But then even after that, I asked him, you know, did you mean to play Anthony 36 minutes? He's like, no. You know, it just kind of it happened, and it can't just happen like that because that was a huge problem last year. Belfield and Marshall both averaged 32 minutes per game because Dave just didn't trust anybody else to be out there. If you can't trust somebody else to play, you know, the point guard against Jacksonville State.
And that's why I thought it was semi-confusing that he did end up redshirting Daquan Cook.
Yeah.
Because you need some ball handler.
Yeah, and that's a body they could have thrown out there.
And I'll never get that first name right.
Wow, it's pronounced Daquan?
Daquan.
Oh, wow. Just like Daquan Cook,
just like
played
Ohio
for the Heat
State's
and now at the Thunder and Ohio State. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think – you know, if Caton progresses the way they'd like him to, and you know you can put more on Justin, but that's basically those are the three that you've got, and you got to find a way to balance that more because Anthony Marshall cannot be. I don't care how good a shape he is in. If he's playing that many minutes, he's gonna
wear out.
He's gonna wear out. Yeah, and so that's an issue.
And Bryce DeShawn Jones doesn't participate in the ball bringing up the court?
And he could a little bit, but you know that's he's more of your, you know, get it to him on the wing and he can, you know, drive or shoot or score from there. You know, you more set things up for him instead of him setting up the rest of the offense. If that makes sense.
That makes sense. LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, UNLV basketball this weekend against Oregon. Then, depending on the outcome, they'll play either Iowa State, the alma mater of our photographer Sam Morris, or the Cincinnati Bearcats, which, in my opinion, is a very underrated team. Even though they're top 20, I think they're a legit top 15.
They're like number 24.
24.
And I do not. I haven't really seen them much, but I would be very surprised if they're a top 15 team.
So I haven't followed college basketball yet this year, unfortunately. So who will they be favored over, Iowa State?
I would think
so. Cincinnati.
Pretty close game.
Cincinnati.
Yeah,
I think they'll be favored by
on a neutral court. I bet they'll be favored.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know about eight. I was thinking maybe five.
And that's a tougher matchup.
I don't have a good matchup
for the Rebels.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati's long and athletic. I think that's I personally think they're a good team.
I honestly haven't gotten into those two teams much yet.
And the Big East is kind of down this year, if I'm not mistaken. So they could have a really good year.
Yeah. Yeah. So
if they're even still in the Big East, I can't keep up with.
Well, Maryland,
even as of this morning, what, Rutgers? And
Rutgers in the Big Ten now. And Syracuse is in the ACC, maybe.
And Maryland's in the Big Ten.
And Maryland's moving, too, right?
Yeah.
Wow. And Alaska's in the SEC.
Yeah.
Before long.
Anchorage, Alaska, and BYU, Hawaii are now going to be in the Mountain West. Who knows? It's just – and the WAC is virtually done, right?
There's like five teams left. They're clinging on to
realignment.
They are just like clinging on to hope that something will –
Is Utah State part of the Mountain West now, next year?
Next year.
And Louisiana Tech staying in the WAC?
I think so.
So there, it's going to be Louisiana Tech, North Texas, and
some teams.
Cal Poly turned them down. Montana turned them down. Who knows?
I don't know.
It's crazy. I mean, that's the hard part is, you know, when you you'll get this, but whenever you bet a basketball game and you want to check your scores and you got to know the conference to check the score in, and you're like, oh, my God, what conference is this team in? And you're kind of embarrassed because you don't know. You've put money on a game case, and you have no idea even what team in the league's, you know.
I don't think that happens to Case so much.
It's got to happen at least once or twice.
I kind of understand you, but yet usually I'd say I know the conference. Because if I don't when I bet the game, I know, and I'm not hating on you here, but I know during college basketball a lot you tell me, your strategy is to go into the sports book and just pick what names look good on that certain day. If I did that, I'm right with you, and I wouldn't know the conference.
It's like playing Keno, buddy.
But usually,
that's not a good policy.
If I bet the game, usually, if I bet the game, usually, I'll look up. I'll try to read a little bit about it and see what's going on. You know what I mean? See if it's the Atlantic Sun or the.
Have you ever played Keno before?
When I used to come to Vegas where I lived here, when I'd be like sitting at the buffet and they have the Keno on in the morning, like eating breakfast, that's like the only time I've played it.
Did you play your birthday?
I don't remember what I played. I mean, Keno, this is a great quote from, I don't even know if I should quote the guy. A billionaire that owns casinos on the strip once said, if there's ever a nuclear strike, I'm going to the Keno room because nothing ever hits there. that's how I kind of feel about
Keno.
That's
good to know.
All right.
Should we devote 30 seconds to UNLV football?
Oh, we should. We should. They play Hawaii.
They do.
Saturday. Yet another chance to break that that miserable 20-plus road game losing streak. The Rebels, they were semi-decent in the second half Saturday against Wyoming. Didn't give up any points. But they had dug themselves a little too big deep of a hole. The game goes back to the fake punt that fake field goal that they should have converted.
Should have scored on, and Herring fumbled at like the one.
Yep, Herring has played great. I don't think you could ask any more from your backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. He played great. Unfortunately, that guy has been on the wrong end of several bad beats for UNLV throughout his career.
Bad beat, a theme of the show today.
Yeah, theme of the show. But I would say that even more so than the Colorado State game 2 weeks ago, I think this game is winnable for UNLV. I mean, Hawaii is pretty awful.
Yeah, they may be one of the worst teams in 1A football, but there's still the travel. There's still the fact that the last time UNLV went on the road against a team that they are better than, they didn't show up at all. So I... At this point, I have no idea.
You can't try to predict this team. I would say the Colorado State game was the one time this year where UNLV didn't show up at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that
and
was,
I don't know if the cold weather had anything
they hadn't
to
seen
do with
snow. It was amazing.
Yeah, but
oh, my God, that game's a pick'em.
Hawaii, UNLV.
What? No, I didn't think it was on the board yet.
Offshore, we got some pick'ems. Not on the board anywhere in Las Vegas.
Pick'em. Wow.
That's stunning. I got to take UNLV.
Yeah.
At pick'em. There's no way.
I mean,
you have to, but you can't feel very good about it.
Do you treat this like a bowl game for UNLV because they're going to a semi-exotic location? Last game
semi-exotic?
Well, I don't know,
exotic.
Dude.
But I don't know. It seems like every other game you want to trade is a bowl game for the Rebels.
You want so many bowl games for this team.
Well,
because you know that they're never going to be in a real
this
one.
This is great.
Wow. Next year they might win the league.
Not to overuse a cliche, but this is a bowl. It's the toilet bowl. Well, it is. I mean, how could... You're laughing sarcastically. How can you deny that?
Two of the, 10 worst teams in the country?
No, yeah. UNLV's one of the 10 worst in the country?
They're 2-10.
I know their record is 2-10.
They're definitely, no doubt, one of the, I would probably argue one of the 10 worst, definitely one of the 15 worst. You can't even argue they're not one of the 15 worst.
We suck. UNLV's awful.
What do you mean? What's this we?
Toilet bowl. I went to UNLV. It's fine.
Well, yeah, but you didn't play.
Toilet bowl. What? You know what I did play?
Keno.
Yes, Keno every day at the Continental before I watch Cookie Jar. and no short order. LasVegasSun.com, Sports Talk right here, 91.5 KUNV. Coming down the end of the show, Case this past weekend was in Montreal. George St. Pierre back, and he wins. How did he look, Case?
He looked pretty good. I mean, I think it was a good matchup for him. People seem to forget Carlos Condit, who he was fighting, is – great finisher, knocks out people, submits them, but he's really not a very good wrestler. He can't really stop takedowns, and George St. Pierre's an Olympic caliber wrestler. He could have wrestled for Canada in the Olympics a couple years ago. It just took him down repeatedly and smashed him up once he got him, cut his head open really bad. And he also came back from some adversity, though. Carlos Condit did knock him down in the third round. George St. Pierre comes back and win. I'd say he looked great for just coming back. And especially, I think this doctor has got to get like just some renowned credit. He did Tom Brady, Adrian Peterson, and now George St. Pierre. Three guys that recovered from ACL surgeries faster than like anyone ever has before to return at an elite level.
He's like the Tommy John of ACL injuries. Maybe
not the Tommy John, the James Andrews. Yeah, just for the record, that snort was Ray Burns.
Taylor Burns.
So, yeah.
Ray Burns. Yes.
Dr. Ella Tarache is his
did
name.
You get
very
any
impressive.
Poutine while you were up there?
I did not get any.
What? Poutine. What's the matter with you?
I don't like gravy.
Who cares? You got to try it.
And what is it, a turkey sandwich?
A turkey sandwich. Poutine?
Oh, Mike. And I honestly was, but I took a red eye Friday morning, didn't really sleep. And then when I was going to do something else, my friend talked me into going to Bob Dylan. Worst decision ever. We were going to get poutine afterwards, but I was just so exhausted. Even he who loves Bob Dylan admitted it
Bob
was terrible.
Bob Dylan took the poutine out of you.
He took the poutine straight out of me.
Bob Dylan, folks. LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next Tuesday. Have a happy turkey day.